Secretary fighting a massive enemy. Total devastation.
Stop talking. Stop moving. Don't make a sound.
We have to protect them.
Because if they hear you, they hunt you. Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, A Quiet Place. In cinemas everywhere, April 5th, rated 15.
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now? Now.
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Berger. We are on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, and we are on the verge of Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor 12. We will review it and predict it, and we have a very special guest, Vinny Marsali of the Kingdom, the Horror King, will join us. You can follow us on all our social media on the Instagram, the Snapchat, and the Twitter at High Spot Podcast, and also Facebook.com/High Spot Podcast, as well as our brand new website, HighSpotPodcast.com. Trendsetter, what's going on, my man? We've got an amazing card to break down, but of course we'll be talking to Vinny Marsali. What's going on? Are you excited for this amazing Ring of Honor show?
It's slowly building up, Jeff. I'm like a volcano ready to erupt. The fantasy is now quickly becoming reality. We're only a few short days away, guys, from going to New Orleans, Louisiana, to cover these events, which is WrestleMania weekend. But you know what? WrestleMania, WWE, that takes a backseat right now to Ring of Honor. So excited for this. So excited for our guest we have right now, because it talks about one specific thing: controversy, conspiracies. They are conspiracy victims. And right now, I can't wait to get in-depth in this interview we have with Vinny.
Yeah, so he's coming up right now, but let me tell you something, Trendsetter. Who would have thought that we'd be talking about Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor at all when we started this podcast, man? We were thinking it was all going to be WWE, and, you know, we were just not close-minded, but we were kind of like, you know, unaware that there'd be such an explosion in the wrestling business when we started this.
Yes, a huge explosion. And, you know, we kind of touched base on it in the year 2017, where it just seemed like a huge boom in professional wrestling. I know I get repetitive when I say that a lot, but really felt that way. Now in 2018, it's been so exciting with all the things that we've done. And, you know, I couldn't look more forward to it, because it just kind of shows you out there to the crew that are listening to the show, and we thank you for listening and supporting the High Spot Podcast, is that there are things outside the WWE. You know, professional wrestling isn't just necessarily that juggernaut, which is World Wrestling Entertainment. There are other avenues out there, entertaining, kind of Baskin-Robbins. You have to try all 31 flavors, because there's so much variety now to choose from, that, you know, performers like Vinny, for example, and performers all around the world that we've had on the show just have another avenue to hone their craft and their talents.
All right, so before we get Vinny on, where can they find the High Spot Podcast?
Well, besides going on our website and going to all those social media platforms that Jeff had mentioned, you guys can also catch us on the Apple Podcast. Leave a 5-star rating review. It's really easy, guys. It only takes a few seconds. You can also catch and listen to our show on TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and SoundCloud.
And catch our YouTube channel. We have amazing interviews with Mia Yim, as well as Bullet Club members Adam Page and Marty Scurll. And of course, we got the Adventures of the Trendsetter that is just booming like crazy with the subscribers. And that is Brian's baby there. So,
Very excited. You guys will have interviews with Sarah Vandella and Nikki Delano. If you guys don't know who they are, you will quickly find out about these two lovely young ladies that I had a chance to interview in Las Vegas with, along with my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. So, it's definitely the gift that keeps on giving. These two women are definitely, you know, no. no rookies to the business, and they definitely know how to be successful in it, just as like we like to talk about the success of professional wrestling and the adult film industry, all coincide in one event.
Well, Trendsetter, I'm glad you mentioned Las Vegas, because that's kind of where all this started with the Kingdom, because they made their presence felt, and then Bully Ray kind of basically barred them now from this matchup here at Supercard of Honor 12 at the biggest crowd in Ring of Honor history. They do not get their opportunities to win their six-man tag team championships back, and now filling in is going to be Flip Gordon and the Young Bucks in the ladder match. So we get in depth with Vinny Marsaglia, the Horror King from the Kingdom, talking about just exactly how they feel and what their mindset is going into Supercard of Honor now that they're not in there. So here we are, ready with our interview with Vinny Marsaglia here on the High Spot Podcast right now. All right, Trendsetter, Supercard of Honor is on Saturday, April the 7th from New Orleans. It's going to be a huge weekend, but you know what? Let the Kingdom conspiracies begin, because what we thought was going to be a battle for the six-man tag team championships between SoCal, Uncensored, and the Kingdom is changed, because now it's going to be Flip Gordon and the Young Bucks, and it's going to be...
I can't take this anymore, Jeff, as a wrestling fan. I can't take that they keep changing it on me. It's a tease, and it's not fair.
I know, and because of their actions, it left no choice for Ring of Honor enforcer Bully Ray to ban the Kingdom from all activities, and here talking about that is one of the members from the Kingdom, Vinny Marsaglia. What's going on? You've got to be upset about this whole situation.
Yeah, I kind of am. I mean, I think this conspiracy thing and Bully Ray himself have gone far enough with it. But I think we kind of sent that message to him on the ROH 16th anniversary when we decided to take it upon ourselves to, take action and just show up anyway. You know what I mean? We weren't even on the ROH Ring of Honor 16th anniversary show. That was a year after TK had broken his leg in the very same building, very same show. And we weren't even on that show. So we took it upon ourselves to put ourselves on that show. And then he kicked us out of the building, and we didn't care about him, what he had to say there either. And we ended up coming back. So I mean, he can do whatever he wants and try to ban us or whatever kind of rules. I'm not going to follow his rules. You know, plain and simple. I think it's gone far enough. All we wanted in the first place was a rematch for the six-man tag titles, and you know, nobody's able to grant us that, and I don't understand it. You know, when you lose your championship, you are granted a championship rematch. It's been going on in wrestling for decades, for forever. And we haven't been granted that fair rematch for the six-man tag titles. And it was supposed to happen at Supercard of Honor. And, you know, once again, the legs get cut out from underneath us from our, you know, awesome enforcer there, Bully Ray.
So now that all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, you were on the Shining Wizards podcast and you were talking about, they're congratulating you on being in that title match. And actually, they were talking about being in front of the largest audience in probably Ring of Honor history in New Orleans. And now all of a sudden, to have it taken away from you guys, it's got to be disheartening. Just talk about now when you take a look at the card now and you see Flip and the Young Bucks taking your spot. How do you feel right now inside?
You know, it stinks, you know, because it was, you know, like you said, you know, biggest crowd in Ring of Honor history. You know, we're talking like thousands and thousands of people, you know, high profile matchup, rematch for our six man tag titles that we never lost fairly to begin with. You know, a fair and square rematch that we had all lined up and, you know, again, taken away from us. So, you know, it kind of stinks to see that and to be banned off the biggest show of the year. You know, so, yeah, it kind of stinks, you know, because we were pretty excited going into that. And, you know, it's unfortunate that there is legit a Kingdom conspiracy. I mean, this is can you not see it? I mean, it's written on the wall here, you know.
Well, the only way you couldn't see Vinny is if you're a blind man walking into a pool of water, not seeing it underneath you. Because honestly, right. You're right. It's a conspiracy theory. It's people in underpower like Bully Ray, and you know the word really benefits him. He's a bully using his power to again to take away something that's rightfully yours. But you know, prior to realizing the fact that this happened and the conspiracy continues on from here, how excited were you theoretically knowing that you were going to be part of this card? Because to me. And I've spoken about this with Jeff several times, especially leading up to WrestleMania weekend. I mean, this is my Christmas. I mean, you know, the Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, that's great. This is my celebration. This is where all the die hardcore fans are there. How excited were you? And, you know, a lot of things can change from this point on till a Supercard. But how excited are you to be part of those festivities and be part around that atmosphere?
You know, it's very exciting. It's exciting for, you know, every wrestler, you know, and Supercard being one of the biggest shows, in New Orleans, like, you know, there's no better feeling to be a part of that. And, you know, even like, you know, after we just, you know, had that, you know, wild, crazy match, Manhattan Mayhem with, us, the Kingdom and Shane Taylor versus the Bullet Club there in that Manhattan Mayhem match there for the main event at the Hammerstein. That match was just wild and crazy, and it was just, you know, the energy in that building was insane. And, you know, I couldn't wait for the Supercard, you know, because it was going to be a crowd that's even bigger than that, you know, and I was going to even... So it's just kind of, you know, it's really exciting, and it was a very exciting feeling to, you know, especially when they announced that match. Again, like I said, when they announced that match, it was pretty much, you know, here it is. Here's a rematch for the six-man tag titles, and it's on the biggest show that Ring of Honor is going to host, the biggest crowd in Ring of Honor history. You know, the excitement, geez, just, and, you know, I can't even explain it, you know, going into that for, you know, as a performer, just... unreal, you know, it's with Ring of Honor growing, you know what I mean? It's just, it's going to get better and better. You know, now we just need to end the conspiracy and, you know, let Bully Ray realize that, you know, we never lost the six-man tag titles, you know, fairly, and we never got a rematch fairly, so.
I'm pretty sure we will be hearing from the Kingdom. I'm pretty sure that they've taken it upon themselves to be noticed, and I think that they have something up their sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, but we're talking to the heart.
Oh yeah, this, you know what I mean, this is like Bully Ray. I don't know how the other two feel about him, but I could care less what he has to say. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, you can make all the rules that you want, but I mean, look at me. Do I really look like a rule follower?
No, not at all. So, and Bully Ray doesn't even look like a rule maker at all either.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. So,
you think a guy like him with his history, Vinny, would appreciate what you guys do? Because he was known
right.
to break all the rules.
Right.
And now he's somewhat of an authority figure. I mean, how the tables have turned right now, and it's calling the kettle black, really. He's more of a hypocrite.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't dare say it to his face, but I'll say it now that he's a hypocrite.
And it goes deeper than that. Spike Dudley is actually myself and Matt Taven's trainer. He's our original trainer in pro wrestling.
Well, there you go, because you're with Spike Dudley. That's why.
Isn't that interesting? So I don't know. Maybe there's some, you know, hatred there. Who knows? I don't know what it is, but there's definitely a conspiracy in Ring of Honor. It's been proven almost every week on Ring of Honor television, whatever live stream. It's been proven, you know. And the Supercard is probably the biggest, you know, example of the Kingdom conspiracy. You know, I mean, we're banned from the biggest show in Ring of Honor history. That's ridiculous. We're the first ever Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions.
All right, so we're talking to the Horror King, Vinny Marcellia. You talked about being the first ever six-man tag team champions. There's been a, let's admit it, as far as tag team scene in professional wrestling, and we'll talk about WWE, it kind of sometimes takes a back seat, and then sometimes you know, they come to the forefront. But for example, what has Ring of Honor done so well as far as, you know, pushing the tag team division and having a six-man tag team championship, you know, in the company? Why do you think there's more, I guess, more prestige now at Ring of Honor with their titles?
I just think, I really think it's just something different. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, especially the six-man tag team, you know, division, and, you know, I just think it's just, you have so many great wrestlers, and then when they're put in this, like, six-man tag team division, it's just, to me, it's just something different. It just gives the audience something different to watch, to get invested into, and you know, and I just think it's become a crucial part of Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? I think it's been a very crucial part of Ring of Honor recently with the six-man tag team matches. You know, I've been in so many within the past, like, what, 2 years. And like I said, it's only growing and it's going to keep growing. And I think the Ring of Honor fans, like, really enjoy it. From, you know, that's just my personal opinion. And again, it's just something different. I just feel like Ring of Honor offers a lot of different stuff for wrestling fans to enjoy. So, and I think that's going to keep growing, you know, and, you know, that's just my opinion. I just think it's something different, having those six-man tag matches, you know, because you can do, there's so many different ways you can do them too. So
combinations, right?
Know, yeah. Creative ways. Yeah, yeah, a lot of different combinations of, like, different, like, fantastic talents out there, you know what I mean, where it just makes it, you know, that much, you know, entertaining or better, however you want to word it. So, yeah, I just think it's really cool. And it's going to get bigger, you know, it's going to keep growing, because you can feel it, you know. I've been involved in the past 2 years, and you could just feel it growing, you know what I mean? So it's really cool.
You can see a lot of dissension in the ranks among some people. We just told you before we came on air that there's a lot of dissension in the ranks between me and the trendsetter here, and we don't get along really well.
You're going to air it out.
Seriously. There's another team, there's another faction that's got a little bit of dissension in the ranks, and that is Bullet Club. No matter how many times Cody says that they're fine, your leadership under Matt Taven, or is there, like, one certain leader, or do you all have your say? What makes the Kingdom so successful and a force right now, or a cohesive unit?
You know, the Kingdom is very special in its own way, because we're all very close outside of pro wrestling and in pro wrestling. The whole Kingdom, like, me and Matt Taven started together in training. You know, we're talking like 10 years ago. So a decade ago, me and Matt actually started wrestling and training under Spike Dudley together. So we've been close friends since then. And then, you know, even, you know, Michael Bennett and Mario around that time. And then TK came in later, all at the same, like, school and area. And we've all been very close. And so the Kingdom is very natural. The connection with the Kingdom. And as far as, like, leadership, Taven being the leader of the Kingdom, Taven is the leader of the Kingdom, but we also, you know, because we have that same mentality coming from the same training background, and it just, you know, knowing each other so well, we all kind of have the same kind of mindset, like, going into certain things. Now, granted, most people, you know, some people always have, like, a different opinion on certain things, and you know, as do we, but, you know, if my opinion's different from Taven's, usually it's something that he's like, oh yeah, I'll agree with that, or, you know, vice versa. You know, Taven is ultimately the shot caller, but usually, like, any ideas that come from myself or TK are usually something that Taven would think of anyways. So it kind of, you know what I mean? We all have that same mindset. And another thing that's really special about the Kingdom is that us being a three-person faction there, we are all we all have the ability to be singles wrestlers. We all have the ability to tag with whomever. It could be me and Taven. It could be me and TK. It could be TK and Taven. It could be me by myself. It'd be TK by himself, Matt by himself. And we all have, like, I think, our own distinct personalities. And I think we're fine whichever direction you put us in. There's not a struggle or anything with anything that we do. So the Kingdom is very strong.
Jeez, Vinny, I envy you. I wish the Jersey Rank crew was as strong as the Kingdom is right now. Because here's the thing, you guys are all like-minded people. I couldn't be more opposite than Jeff, and I can't believe I chose him as a tag team partner. But again, maybe that little fire between us, that little rift, which sometimes I just want to slap him in the face, works for us, I guess, in a way. It makes for good radio. But
give him a red balloon. He'll be happy.
Yeah, give him a red balloon and just. Oh, he hates clowns. Jeff is completely afraid. He's afraid of Ronald McDonald. So it's
bad experience as a kid though. But
Ronald McDonald is kind of terrifying, to be honest with you. I find him more terrifying than I do it.
No, that's true, exactly. But again, you know, all good things come to those that wait, and I will be waiting for my moment. It's all about moments, right? You wait for your particular spots, especially in professional wrestling. And what I want to kind of touch a base upon you, Vinny, is that you kind of spoke about it when you're talking about the Kingdom, right? And how you guys are all like-minded people, but you all have your own identity as well. Talk about Ring of Honor, and you said how, like, for example, this is going to be the biggest card, most likely next year WrestleMania, the final one after that. It's going to continue to grow and grow. Can you talk to me a little bit about the identity of Ring of Honor? Because it seems like, at least for me and Jeff and I, we've talked about in 2017, how it feels internally from a fan standpoint. I don't know what it's like for a performer. It seems like there's this huge boom in wrestling right now. And it's just continued on, especially in 2018. What's the identity for somebody you'd think, the identity that Ring of Honor sets for itself that separates it from all the other promotions out there?
I just think that Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor has a little bit more of an edge, I guess you could say. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
Yes.
So I just think that's what kind of separates us from everything else is we're like, you know, and the thing about Ring of Honor that's so cool and that I love about it, especially recently, is you get a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool. You get a little bit of everything. You get, you know, there, you can get comedy. You can get your hardcore. You can get your overall entertainment. You can get your wrestling. You can get all your high risk stuff that you enjoy. You get a little bit. It's as a package, as a whole. I just feel like Ring of Honor is just like a complete show. You know what I mean? There's something for everybody to enjoy on a Ring of Honor event, and you know, like I said, and Ring of Honor having that edge, I think, is just what makes it, you know, a little bit different than everything else. You know what I mean? Because we can have that edge and keep that edge, and I think that is just something that, you know, fans can kind of, and you know, be entertained by. And like I said, there's different, and like Ring of Honor has very like different, you know, with the wrestling and the different characters and the different, you know, personalities and different, the dramas that are going in, you know, going around between, like, you know, the Bullet Club stuff and then, like, you know, us with the Kingdom Conspiracy having to deal with that, you know, and it's just a lot of stuff to kind of, like, you know, really, really get invested with. And I just feel like, yeah, it just has that, like, that different edge. You know, I don't know if you guys agree with me on that.
No, Vinny, I think
it just has. Yeah, it just has that, like, you know, that different edge to it.
Well, not only does it have an edge in terms of the product, Vinny, but I think, you know, for me, I've been very lucky enough to see a couple of Ring of Honor events now recently with Jeff. I didn't choose Jeff to come with me. He just tagged along for some reason. And it really feels like everybody has a chip on their shoulder, too. Like, everybody has something to prove. It feels like nobody's there trying to rest on their laurels. Everybody's trying to kind of steal the show. And you sense that from the fans' point of view. I mean, do you sense that in the locker room, too, that everyone wants to go out there and say, top that type of mentality?
Everybody, you know, it just comes down to everybody just wants to go out there and be the best that possibly can be. You know what I mean? No, there's not a single... There's not a single person there that does not work hard. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's out there to be the absolute best. You know what I mean? And I think that's the way it should be. You know what I mean? I absolutely agree with that. So I just think it's that. I don't think it's so much like, well, you know, like, top that. You know what I mean? I think it's more just like, you know, let's, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to kill it. And then we're going to go out there and we're going to kill it. And you know, and this is going to be the best show that this audience has ever seen.
Just more like a teamwork mentality, right? It's all like a team, right?
Sure. Yeah. I just think that's everybody's mentality. It's just like, you know, we want to go out there. We want to be the absolute best. That's it, you know.
How about creative-wise? Do you think, for example, Ring of Honor lets you guys be more creative as far as other companies? Do you guys feel like you can, you know, put your ideas out there and you're not going to, you know, hear the no, you know, or are you going to be able to allow yourselves to work on your persona more freely than you could in other places?
I mean, I haven't really had, I don't have any complaints about that. I mean, everything that I've ever done that you've seen is pretty much, you know, who I am or who we are as a unit. So, you know, it's been pretty, you know, because, I mean, that's who we are, you know, so it's just kind of, there's no, you know, so we've never really had a problem with anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm saying, though, creativity is good to have. Like Ring of Honor allows you guys to be creative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From what I've seen.
It's like an open forum, basically. They're open to your ideas because they're like, hey, you guys have gone this far with it. Then you guys, we trust you to go the rest of the way. You're not going to hear a lot of nitpicking from us.
Well, what I'm trying – well,
no,
I was
no,
trying,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to be more clear, like, you know, not like WWE where they're like, you know, well, you can't try this or whatever. I'm saying Ring of Honor allows you to be creative. Right.
Right, yeah. And I'm not too sure what goes on anywhere else, but like at Ring of Honor, there's, you know, they give us, you know, all the creative freedom that we, you know, could possibly want.
Vinny, two-part question here real quick. Basically, you know, I'd spoken about before that, you know, it seems like there's so much more content out there, and all the content of professional wrestling seems to be so much more accessible, a lot to do with social media and vehicles like YouTube, for example, right, where you can get your content out there and share it with so many other people. From a performer's standpoint, can you just kind of elaborate from your own experiences how vital social media has been for you? Because basically, it is a business. It's not that you're going to business for yourself, but you're trying to market and brand yourself out there because, hey, you gotta pay the bills, right? So when you see teams like, for example, the Young Bucks, who I think have done an amazing job with branding themselves and marketing themselves, so how vital tool is it for not just any business, but specifically professional wrestling yourself, to use tools like social media to brand yourself and market yourself out there? And with that being said, do you feel right now more than ever it's just a great time to be in the business if you're young and up-and-comer or you're trying to, for example, reinvent yourself because you have these tools to be able to branch out and not necessarily have a machine behind you to kind of do it for you?
Yeah, I think you know, social media is very important, especially now. And I think right now it's a fantastic time for anybody in professional wrestling, you know, whether you've been in it for a while, you're a new up and comer starting off, it doesn't matter. I think it's a fantastic time. And it's cool to see, like, you know, a lot of people kind of helping each other out. You know what I mean? And being able to have that, like we just talked, have that creative freedom to kind of, you know, build their brand or, you know, put themselves out there. I think social media is like a huge thing. I use it a lot. It really like helps me kind of like, you know, it just kind of helps you, you know, promote where you are or promote where, you know, what your next t-shirt is or what your, you know, your match or whatever it is. Like, you know, the Kingdom, we have our own little like, you know, videos and stuff that we do and we put them on the YouTube channels and like, you know, people kind of like, you know, they get invested into them and they follow them and kind of wait for us to come out with the next one. You know what I mean? So like, I think social media, especially today, is just like a crucial part of just entertainment alone. You know what I mean? I just think it's like, it, you know, big in the entertainment industry alone where you could really like put your brand out there and get people to kind of, you know, invest in it and get to know a little bit more about, you or your character or whatever it is that you're trying to put out there and brand. I think it's, you know, a huge thing. And I think it helps people that like are just kind of starting off. It helps them a little more, when they come in. You know, when I first started wrestling, that, you know, social media wasn't really like a huge thing at the time. It kind of like became like bigger as I was like, kind of like, you know, coming up in wrestling. You know, I always think too, like, I'm not the greatest on social media.
None of us are, really.
That. I didn't really...
No, there's some good ones.
There's some good ones, exactly. But those are the few exceptions to it, exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know, but you know, I love using it. I think it's like I said, I think it helps me a bunch, and I just like to give, you know, fans and stuff, or, you know, who are, you know, kind of like a feel for what, you know, the Horror King is, and, you know, they can kind of get that through my social media, and understand it and whatnot. So I think it's a crucial part of the industry, and like I said, in entertainment as a whole, but it's, you know, especially pro wrestling right now.
Yes, thank God.
It's a great time in pro wrestling. Great time.
A great time, Vinny. I couldn't agree with you more. And thank God we're past the times of tape trading, because that was killing me back in my time. You know, the whole VHS tape, that, you know, it was horrible. But it's saying that's the only way you could get your content out there is tape trading.
Yeah, now you have your virtual business card, right? You can just, hey, you know, go to my YouTube, go to my Twitter, and you want to know more about me, I'm right there. So it's very good. And, you know, doing that opens
up. Yeah, it's cool, because, yeah. Like, and then you have, like, all those, like, those GIFs and stuff, and those, yeah. They're like mini movies. They're like mini movies, you know what I mean? So it's kind of cool. There's a lot of cool stuff out there now on social media that's kind of like, you know, it just, you know, it helps, you know, by far.
Let me ask you this. You know, the days now where, like, everybody's vlogging nowadays, it seems like everybody has a camera, especially like a 13-year-old kid has, you know, a million followers for some reason. He's just kind of going back and forth eating cereal for some strange reason. I think vlogging is so cool now, because, like, you have a chance to kind of show a behind the scenes, because, you know, the days of kayfabe, I kind of feel, are kind of over. I mean, you know, the audience kind of goes behind the curtain a little bit to an extent. And so it's great for you guys to market yourselves to be put out there. So, you know, with that being said, it's like, it's just a great way of people, I always feel, if they can invest in you as a human being and root for you, regardless whether they boo you or they cheer you, they're going to be behind you 100%.
Right. Yeah. Because, like, it's just being, like, relatable. You know, yes, what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Like, people want to be able to sort of, like, relate, like, what it is that you like or do. So I think it's just, you know, showing people things that they can relate to, or giving them stuff that they're like, oh yeah, I like that too, or, you know, or I do that too, or whatever it is. I just think it, like, kind of gets them to be a little more invested into, like, you know, what they like, or who they like, or whatever it is.
Yeah, so, if you check out Vinny, yeah, like, hey, this guy likes horror movies. So do I.
That's the best
exactly,
way. Yeah,
exactly. That, you know, I've actually had several people that just like the horror genre that have just kind of like transferred over to watch Ring of Honor because of just the, you know, the horror itself, the Horror King. So it's just, you know, yeah, it's stuff like that like, yeah, I love horror and I love wrestling, you know, what's, you know, that's pretty cool, you know. So it's kind of, you know, and that's what I love, you know what I mean? I love pro wrestling and I love horror, you know. So it's kind of, you know, there's people just like me out there, so it's kind of, you know, it's cool.
I think wrestlers, when they, you know, the best way they get over is like relatability. So I think that's why social media is so important and so good, because you can relate to the wrestlers, because you can, hey, they're just, you know, normal guys just like me, except, you know, they're on this platform where we can watch them, you know, do their thing in the wrestling ring. But it's opened a lot of doors for you as far as not only being a professional wrestler, but also now, for example, you are, which a film that's being actually in current production, you play a psychopathic killer named Damon in the movie The Find. So how far is this from the real guy?
Not that far, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think we wanted to know the answer to that question, but you kind of answered it right there.
and that alone is just like, you know, that was also another thing that, like, I kind of, you know, since I was a kid, been wanting to do. When I was a kid, like 6 years old, I'm running around like in a Jason mask instead of playing with like toy, like G.I. Joes. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom was like a huge horror fan, and she had me probably watch it a little bit too earlier than I probably should as a young kid.
No harm, no foul, you know, basically. But,
yeah, but, you know, she'd always, like, we always talk about it even currently. Like, she'd always tell me, like, you know, because my daughter, like, me and my wife, we have tons of used horror movie props, screen used props in our home. So it's kind of like, it's like almost like a mini, like, horror museum in our home. And I have a 3-year-old daughter, and she can name you like Jason, Michael Myers, Freddy, all nice. Right now at 3 years old. But, like, she's not really afraid of the movies. She gets afraid of them sometimes, but I do the same thing. Like, me and my mother always talk, like, it's fake. It's not real. It's not real. Now, I'm not saying I'd sit my 3-year-old daughter down and have her watch Jason. You know what I mean? She's watching like Moana and all her like kid stuff. But like, if it happens to be on because me and my wife watch it and she sees it and she gets a little afraid of it, we just have to tell her, you know, like, oh, you know, don't worry. It's not real. It's not real. And then she becomes more comfortable with it. And that's how kind of like my mother was with me. And she was, I'm just like, I've always been into horror, like huge. Like I collect a bunch of horror memorabilia. And for years and years and years, with the same time of being in love with wrestling, I always like loved horror movies. I was like always wanting to be in a horror movie. So once the Horror King kind of developed in wrestling, I got a call from David Gear, who is a producer and a director within the Rhode Island area, and he works on a lot of like big films, out of this area. And he just, you know, he said, I have this horror movie called The Find, and I wanted to know if you wanted to be the killer in it, and here's a script. I didn't even really need to read the script. I was just like,
yeah,
a killer in a horror movie. Yeah, you can just not send me the script and not just be there. But you know, he sent me the script, and I read it, of course, because I'm into that stuff, and it was great, and I couldn't wait for it. And then it was like, you know, I spent like almost 2 weeks on site and just filming, and we still got a couple more days left, actually. And it was a great time. And like the character Damon isn't too far off from like the Horror King with the mask and all that stuff. So it was just like, it was cool. It was really cool to do. And like the feeling of the movie has a very like, I guess you could say like a Scream, you know, like, okay, like a Scream feel to it, you know, where these like, it's a bunch of college kids that end up at this big mansion they rent out on like winter break or something like that. It's like winter break, and they rent out this house, this mansion, and I'm part of like an old like Indian ancient tribe, but I'm more modern day, but I'm connected to that tribe that was kind of like in that area, and I'm in search for this ring that I believe is in this house, in this mansion, because they have a bunch of different things from that time that are in like the study hall,
old relics, wall, basically.
Like, yeah, on the wall, like a photo that it was from back in that time or whatever. And I believe that this ring is propped there for display. So I'm going there to get this ring, but obviously in the mix, these kids are renting out this mansion, which then I go for the search for the ring, and they ended up running into Damon. So. It's pretty cool. It actually comes out this Halloween, which I'm really excited for. I'm excited for the premiere. It's going to be really cool. So, yeah, that was definitely a pretty awesome thing. And I'm actually I literally just got back today on another film called The Vault, which is – it's a very, like, Italian mobster movie. It has, like, Chaz Palmieri there.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yep. From Bronx Tale. They got Vincent Pastero there from that show there.
Sopranos?
Got him. Yeah, Sopranos. Yeah. That's it. So there's Don Johnson's in it from Miami Vice.
Oh, so my God. You got like the trifecta here. You're working with like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Life doesn't get much better than that.
So it's pretty awesome. So I did that today. I kind of went there for like sizing for like the wardrobe and kind of went over like makeup stuff, and then I start filming on Tuesday. So that's the next film that I'm going to be working on. So it's pretty awesome. It's a kind of out of my genre because I love horror, it's still going to be great and fantastic working on something a little different, and working with those guys is even cooler because Bronx Tale, outside the genre of horror, Bronx Tale is probably one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's pretty right awesome. There. Definitely one of my favorites as well. Do you think wrestling has helped you refine your acting skills, or which one's harder, wrestling or acting? Like, just talk about how you incorporate the two, or has, you know, which one's easier or harder?
I think they're both hard. Like they really are. They're both hard. Both kind of a lot of like sitting around too, waiting and just having that like you know, back and forth, like that anxiety of just kind of like, oh, you know what I mean? Just like anxious to like kind of go out there and do it kind of thing. You know, it's kind of like they're both kind of pretty equal. You know what I mean? You know, wrestling being, you know, a little bit more dangerous, you know what I mean? But as far as like, you know, everything else, I feel personally that it's like very much the same. That's just my opinion. And I think it helps you. They both help each other out. You know what I'm saying? If you're involved with both, it like helps you. And yeah, it helps you, like whether you're in the movies or you're in the, you know, the ring, I think they both help out each other. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be involved with both. You know what I mean? I'm pretty grateful for that.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to make the comparisons and I'm just from the outside looking in, I would think probably wrestling's harder just because there is no second take.
You can't call cut.
You know, I'm in the air.
Like I said,
you're not going to catch me. I can't pause myself in midair and reset myself.
Right. Well, that's why I said, yeah, it's more dangerous, my friend. You got to be like very careful, and just, you know, kind of know what you're doing. So, by far, yeah.
Now, you spoke of the dangers, obviously. I mean, you walk into the business as a fan. You love wrestling, right? So you watch it. So you kind of know what you're getting yourself into, right? When you say, hey, I want to try out to become a professional wrestler. Isn't the ideal thing, and I always make the comment to Jeff, when we have talent, much like yourself on the show, and we're grateful to have you on the show, is that, you know, we live vicariously through you guys. If wrestling was that easy, then everyone would do it, but not everybody can. It takes a special type of individual, a male or female, to go in there and do it. So that being said, when you go out there and perform, right, to me, I always find this so interesting from my perspective, because what do you do to keep yourself as healthy as possible? Because I like to think back in the old days, like I'm an old man right now, that it was all about the daily grind, continually working, book as many times as you can, and your body kind of calluses up. I spoke to certain talent recently that say, you know what, it's now about training a little bit differently. It's maybe about resting the body and really paying attention to taking care of the body first rather than kind of dragging it through a long period of stretch of time, which are, you know, people wanting to extend their career for as long as possible. For you, what do you do to keep yourself not only physically sharp, but physically as well?
Well, I like that line too. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it. That's actually from A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Hanks' line.
It's the hard that makes it great.
Yeah.
Which, and looking back at now, could have been taken the wrong way, but you know. I won't dive into that unless you continue. But yeah, if it was that easy, everybody would do it. Though you're right.
Mm-hmm. I have a trainer, a personal trainer that trains me during the week for, you know, just to kind of keep me strong. And, you know, I kind of need that. You know, I was never like, you know, I was never in the fitness industry. You know, you have some wrestlers that kind of like worked in the fitness industry or whatever it is. I can work out and I know how to work out without a trainer, but I just think that having a trainer that's actually really, that's like his life, you know what I mean? Like that's all he knows and all he does. I just think it's a big help to me because he can push me to the next level. Like I want to keep being pushed to the next level and continue to get stronger and stay healthier. And, you know, he sends me my diet regimen to follow. So I do that. Obviously before any performance I go out there, I stretch a lot. I even stretch at home. I do have some shoulder problems in my right shoulder, which I, you know, whenever I compete, I try to be smart about it and try to avoid anything that's going to, you know, affect that shoulder. It's gotten a lot stronger. I had to do some physical therapy like a while back, and it's gotten a lot stronger. And it's in, like, again, I go back to like having the trainer, and he knows about that. And, you know, he makes sure that he focuses on that to make it stronger. But yeah, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of just kind of understanding your body and knowing what you should do and shouldn't do and just, you know, trying to stay as healthy as you possibly can. So I do a lot of that, and like, you know, the having a trainer has helped me like by far. So, and then like, you know, like I said, I stretch before every event, even after sometimes, but yeah, it's you know, it's a lot, but you know, I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. So
we're talking, of course, to the Horror King, Vinny Marsaglia. One final one for me is, can you believe it, though? We're a quarter past now the year. You know, can you believe that we are?
Yeah, I know.
The 2018 is you know, almost halfway done, kind of. You know, we're at the past the quarter point.
Yeah. Shut up, Jeff. I'm getting old.
You know, so what does the rest of 2018, what does the future hold for the Kingdom? I mean, obviously, you know, we would have loved to see you at the Supercard of Honor in this six-man tag team match to regain your championships. But what does the rest of 2018, what do you guys, you know, see the future for you guys for the rest of 2018?
Well, right now our focus is killing the conspiracy. That's like what we're focused on right now. We want our six-man tag titles back.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's our main focus, our main goal right now in Ring of Honor is to get a fair match for our six-man tag titles and win them back. That's, I mean, I, you know what I mean? There's nothing further than that right now. That's between myself, between Matt Taven, between Tico Orion. We want our six-man tag titles back. We want the conspiracy at Ring of Honor to end, and we want our fair shot. So, and I think at this point, we deserve it.
Yeah, you definitely deserve. And you know, here's the thing, Vinny. I don't like to say the word deserve. You guys have earned your opportunity.
I feel you've had an amazing 2017, and earned. 2018 has been.
There you go.
Yeah, you guys have earned it because all the hard work you guys have done to reach to this point, and hopefully something happens around this time that you guys get that opportunity. And one of the largest audiences that's going to see Ring of Honor Supercard in New Orleans, as I call it. One final one for me, Vinny, and you know, this is more of the artsy fartsy sappy side of me that I always love asking the talent, because I know what it's like being a fan and watching you guys perform, admiring what you guys do. What's it like for you? Meaning that, you know, in this crazy thing that Jeff and I are doing here, trying to build ourselves, trying to market ourselves, brand ourselves, it's really easy for us to, first of all, lose sleep, and second, to kind of, you know, worry so much about getting to a certain point in our careers and not enjoy the journey at hand. Do you have that ability? Do you have that ability now, or are you just in the moment right now where you don't have, you don't want to get lost in it? Basically, do you have the ability of kind of stepping back and
reflecting
on being part of such a great company, like Ring of Honor, and being part of the Kingdom?
Yeah, I mean, I like to kind of just, like, take things as they go. It's funny because, like, Matt is always, like, Matt's kind of like an older brother to me. He's like a year older than I am. And, like, you know, even in wrestling, he's like a year older than I am. Like, he started a year ahead of me. And, like, he, you know, we always kind of joke about I'm the one that just kind of like, all right, whatever's next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just like to kind of, I really do. I like to kind of just kind of take it as it goes. And I really do like to try to, instead of like thinking a mile a minute and like I'd like to kind of take a step back, like you said, and just kind of like, wow, like this is, you know, this is pretty cool. You know what I mean? I'm wrestling around the world with my best friends. I'm, you know, in, you know, Ring of Honor right now, which is like on such an uphill right now. It's just like, you know, it's the greatest company out there as far as I'm concerned, and I'm, you know, a part of that. And you know what I mean? It just, I like to kind of just sit back and just like realize and be grateful that I'm a part of that. You know, I'm more than grateful to be a part of that. It's just an awesome thing. You know, because I'm a wrestling fan just like everybody else. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's very cool to be a part of that. So
and yeah. Any last messages for whoever comes out victorious for your six-man tag team championships?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Any message for whoever comes out victorious for the six-man tag team championships? Whoever comes out victorious, do you have any message?
I mean, I think they know the message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you guys probably, you know what I mean? They know the message.
Yeah.
Like, enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Because
we're coming after the six-man tag titles, no matter who it is, Bullet Club, SoCal Uncensored, either one of them, we're coming after our six-man tag titles. And there's nothing that Bully Ray can do to stop it.
You are...
He's already tried.
Yeah, I know. Vinny, thank you so much, man. We can find you on Twitter at TheHorrorKingVM, also on Facebook.com/VinnyMarcelliaOfficial, and also on Instagram, TheHorrorKingOfficial. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Great getting to know you. Again, it's a travesty that you will not be at Supercard of Honor. But
We don't know that yet.
Like I said, I have a feeling. It's got a feeling. They're going to make their presence felt. But thank you so much, Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, April the 7th from New Orleans. It's going to be a great weekend, and we got a feeling that the Kingdom will make their presence felt.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
And a special thanks goes out to Vinny Marcellia, The Horror King. You guys can catch him on Twitter at TheHorrorKingVM, as well as Facebook.com/VinnyMarcelliaOfficial, and Instagram as well, TheHorrorKingOfficial.
So why don't we get into that matchup first, because that is one of the matches that is going to highlight Supercard of Honor in New Orleans, and it is originally slated to be the Kingdom going up against SoCal Uncensored, but now it's not. Billy Ray has made his decision. He has barred the Kingdom from any kind of activities at Supercard of Honor, so now it's going to be Flip Gordon and the Young Bucks. You know the Young Bucks have a liking towards Flip, so this is a chance for them to get back their six-man tag team titles, not with Hangman Page, but with Flip. Just your thoughts here with Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and SoCal Uncensored. You got to give them, I guess, the edge at first because they're more cohesive unit.
Well, yeah, they're a more cohesive unit. They have proven the fact that they are the six-man tag team champions as well, so kind of new uncharted territories for the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon, because this has kind of been a love-hate type of relationship. It seems like there's more love now than there was before. Pretty interesting. Not a bad consolation prize, but I got to tell you, Jeff, I was looking forward to the Kingdom getting rightfully back something that when we spoke to Vinny about, they never really lost, something they didn't rightfully get back, which you're automatically given a rematch if you've been defending champion. Their tag team titles. So, you know, I'm kind of torn between it. Definitely looking forward to this match. I have to give the edge to the experience in here because, you know what, this team, SoCal Uncensored, has been a cohesive unit a lot longer than the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon. This is the first time I really can recall these three are going to be working together.
Yeah, remember, it's been Adam Page with the Young Bucks, and they are former six-man tag team champions, but not with Flip, though. So usually it was the Hung Bucks with Adam Page, but now Flip is going to be inserted into this.
So the Flip Bucks now?
The Flip Bucks? I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but
this is a huge opportunity for Flip Gordon, though, because, you know, so many times they've been talking about and teasing during the episodes of Being the Elite, can he be part of the Bullet Club? Is he good enough to be surrounded by those guys? And this is a big opportunity for him to showcase that he's not the weak link in this chain.
Yeah, you talk about consolation prize, not being booked into All In, losing to Pharaoh, Cody's beautiful husky, has got to be heartbreaking. And now for him to maybe win the six-man tag team championships alongside the Young Bucks, that might be a great consolation prize. And who knows, maybe after that they'll have no other alternative but to book Flip for All In. But right now I'm going to say, though, I'm going to lean in with the advantage to SoCal Uncensored. I'm going to take SoCal Uncensored to win this matchup.
Me as well.
And plus, there's just no cohesion right now in the Bullet Club right now. You know, there's so much they're worried about. They worry about Cody and Kenny, you know, coming up later in that night. And then you got Marty vying for the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship. So there's so much on the minds right now, especially the friendship between, you know, Kenny and the Young Bucks and how Cody figures into this. I don't know how they can even have, you know, how they can even concentrate in this match.
Well, you know, it's all about chemistry, especially when we talk about tag team wrestling, Jeff. You know, to me, the great tag team wrestlers, champions, which are SoCal Uncensored, experience and time with your partners is a huge factor here. This seems like more, like we talked about, a consolation prize, a makeshift kind of pairing between the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon. You hope for the best, but right now with all the turmoil and dissension among the ranks of the Bullet Club, although Cody likes to go on and on about how Bullet Club is fine, it clearly isn't, and this might be an indication in Supercard that it clearly isn't.
Yeah, most definitely. And as we move on, Ring of Honor will make history that night too, because they will crown the first ever Women of Honor champion. It's been an amazing tournament, of course. We were all stunned by the debut of Tennille Dashwood, as it's all about her now, and she makes the claim now to be the first ever women's champion, but she's got to take on Sumi Sakai. But let's preview the first matchup, semifinal match number one. It's going to be Kelly Klein against Mayu Iwatani. Now, Mayu Iwatani is a veteran here, and Kelly Klein has been just, you know, working her way through the ranks of Women of Honor, and she is very formidable here. And I got to say, I'm going to go Kelly Klein wins the first match, and I think she advances to the finals.
I would say so, too. I mean, you know, we just spoke about the six-man tag team championships and how, you know, experience and being veteran leader in that locker room and in this business has sometimes a benefit for you. But when it comes to singles competition, might not be the right case. Because here's the thing. When it comes to Iwatani, you know, she's been there before. The moment's not going to get to her. But at the same time, how many more opportunities can you get? Can that be weighing on her? This might be one of her last opportunities in such a historic tournament, which is the Women of Honor Championship Tournament. I think Kelly Klein, being a young up-and-comer, might not know exactly what this moment is. So you know what? She has no pressure on her. I'm picking her as well to advance.
All right, we got semifinal match number two, Tennille Dashwood and Sumi Sakai. Of course, again, another veteran of Women of Honor, Sumi Sakai. She's going to be, everyone's going to be pulling for her here, because, you know, everyone's going to be invested in her. But you can't deny Tennille Dashwood. I mean, of course, we all know the whole story, her getting released earlier in the year by WWE, actually late last year with the WWE, and then now making her name now, trying to get out there. And what better way than becoming the first ever Women of Honor champion? And I believe she gets through here. I think it's going to be a hard-fought match. I think Sumi Sakai is going to come maybe just a wee bit close of reaching her goals here. I believe Tennille Dashwood wins this matchup and she advances, and we're going to get an amazing final between Kelly Klein and Tennille Dashwood. And listen, I think Kelly Klein, she's so strong. She can go toe-to-toe with Tennille Dashwood, but at the end of the day, just like her shirt says, it's going to be all about her. It's all going to be about Tennille, and she's going to be the first ever Women of Honor champion.
Yeah, so you already moved past the finals there before I can get my one in there, Jeff. But basically, I hate to agree with you, but I have to agree with you here. Nobody's had so much momentum, or more importantly, a chip on her shoulder than Tennille Dashwood signing with Ring of Honor. That being a huge surprise, especially in the light, you know, timing is everything in this business, Jeff. And timing, the fact that the women's tournament was happening, she signs with Ring of Honor. Kind of a shock maybe to all the women in that locker room. Some of the veterans like Deanna Purrazzo, like Mandy Leon, not really expecting her to be in it. Maybe Brandi Rhodes as well. And so she just kind of run through it. And I really do feel not only will she successfully pass the semifinals, but now she has that chip on her shoulder. And she will also have on the other side of her shoulder the first ever Ring of Honor, or may I say, more importantly, the Women of Honor Women's Championship.
It's going to be an amazing night as Ring of Honor will crown their first ever Women of Honor champion. Now, in matchup two that has a lot of significance between the Bullet Club, the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega, and Cody, is going to be this matchup. Hangman Page against Kota Ibushi. That's right. In New Orleans, we will see Kota Ibushi and Hangman Page. Hangman Page coming off a defeat to Jay White at Strong Style Evolved, but then also at Sakura Genesis, beating Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega alongside Cody. So there's a lot of momentum here for Hangman Page. And listen, there's no love loss here. Hangman Page believes that Kota Ibushi has just gotten in between the whole Bullet Club, and he'd love to put Kota Ibushi away at Supercard of Honor.
Well, he feels he's the poison, the cancer that's running plague on the Bullet Club right now. But as you spoke about before, you know, I spoke about how Tennille Dashwood has a huge chip on his shoulder. You know, Hangman Page right now wants the spotlight. He has kind of had enough of being the guy in the background. You saw it, especially when we fought Jay White, had a chance so close at the IWGP United States Championship, something that I thought would have been really huge and impactful in his career. Now he has the chance to kind of end what he started, and what he's wanted to do is put an end to Kota Ibushi. I think this is huge for Adam Hangman Page for the mere fact that Kota Ibushi, we know who he is. He's been in main event levels. He's had that moment. This is Adam Page's moment. I see Adam Page here right now showcasing not only he can hang with Kota Ibushi, but he can obviously dominate. Well, maybe not necessarily dominate. Let me rephrase back, because I'm not going to take anything away from Kota. But he can live up to the billing. He can take the ball and run with it, and I think he will in defeating Kota Ibushi at Supercard.
Yeah, I think Hangman Page is close, but I think not close enough, and I think that Kota Ibushi will come out the winner here. He's got to take some recourse from what happened at Sakura Genesis. I think Kota Ibushi will get that win back, and I think he will be Hangman Page. I think this has a potentially a show-stealing quality here, this matchup, too. Looking forward to Hangman Page. He's, you know, he's come leaps and bounds with his wrestling, and now he was in the maybe the shadows of the Bullet Club, and now he's become to the forefront because now he's become an amazing competitor. And I strongly suggest you take a look at that Sakura Genesis matchup between Cody and Adam Page against Kota and Kenny Omega, because I think Adam Page is really is coming to his own. But I'm going to go with Kota Ibushi. I think that's the first time we're going to disagree.
Mm-hmm. So I got Adam Hangman Page, and you have Kota Ibushi going out in this one.
And now the battle of the big boys, Tomohiro Ishii and Punishment Martinez. What can you say, man? This is going to be just amazing. It's going to be two monsters going at it. And at the end of the day, I think Tomohiro Ishii comes out on top and beats Punishment Martinez. He's been in kind of a wrong turn for me, and I think that it continues at Supercard of Honor. I think Tomohiro Ishii comes out on top.
Well, yeah, I have to agree with you there. I think Ishii right now is just, he's a bulldozer. This is not going to be, guys, a five-star match. This isn't going to be a steal the show. This is going to be a brutal fight, and that's what it is, and that's why I think it favors Ishii, because Ishii's been in there. He's been in the likes of those types of grueling battles before. You like to think once in a while one's going to catch up to him, but I don't think it's going to catch up to him at Supercard. He comes out victorious.
Yeah, so it's going to be a battle of New Japan and Ring of Honor, and we both, I guess, are going with Ishii there. And let's go for the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. Last man standing, Kenny King, regained his championship back at Ring of Honor's 16th anniversary, and now he has to defend it once again against Silas Young. Man, this is going to be an amazing match. These two have had maybe one of the most underrated rivalries in Ring of Honor. So, just your thoughts, Kenny King versus Silas Young.
Well, you know what? In any other normal match, I would give it to Kenny King, because Kenny King has proven since the times we've seen him during Tough Enough, you know, he has come leaps and bounds in terms of being a general, of being a superstar in that ring. Clearly, that is why he's the television champion. But Silas Young, there's just something about him, man. Something, especially when it comes to a match like this, which is a last man standing match, which means you have to brutally beat down your opponent so severely that they cannot get up by the count of 10. I think this just favors Silas Young, Jeff, because you know what? He's used to getting down and dirty. He'll do whatever it takes to win. He will walk out of Supercard, the brand new Ring of Honor World Television Champion.
Yeah, you know, I think Kenny King had a rough spot there at Final Battle, losing to Silas Young, and I think that he's learned from it, and I think that I think he's going to recover. He's recovered well by winning the title back, so I think he's going to do a better job, and I think he already knows what Silas Young has to offer. He's just got to avoid any outside interferences as far as on the outside of the ring.
You're picking Kenny on this one?
I'm thinking Kenny King here, and of course, I love Silas Young. I love the last real man, but I got to go with Kenny King winning this match.
You could say he's a real man's man.
A real man's man, and I have Kenny King walking away, retaining his Ring of Honor World Television Championship. Now, the tag team titles are also on the line. Now, when you think of tag team wrestling, you think of Ring of Honor tag team titles, you think of the Briscoes, Mark and Jay, who defeated the Motor City Machine Guns at Ring of Honor's 16th anniversary. They defend the titles against Jay Lethal and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Talk about two franchise players, one franchise for Ring of Honor and Jay Lethal, and the other franchise player is Tanahashi for New Japan, so they combine in tag team against the Briscoes. This is going to be entertaining. This is going to be a huge challenge for the Briscoes, but at the end of the day, I'm going to go here with the Briscoes getting the victory over Jay Lethal and Tanahashi.
I agree. I have the Briscoes in this one as well, retaining their tag team championships. But here's the difference, though. I don't think it's going to be a huge surprise or a huge challenge for them. I think the challenge is actually going to be on Jay Lethal and Tanahashi, because you said two franchise players. But here's the thing. If you mix two high-quality players and put them on the same team, does that mean there's going to be instant chemistry? Does that mean they're automatically going to be a cohesive unit? No. Mark and Jay have been there before. They know what it takes to win. They've proven it, obviously, at the 16th anniversary by reclaiming their tag team titles. And now here's the case. When you give a dog a bone, the last thing you want to do is try to take it away from him. And if you're going to try to take it away from the Briscoes, you're in for a hellacious beating, and that's what they're going to get at the hands of the Briscoes.
We know Jay Lethal can get extreme, but can Tanahashi get extreme here and try to, you know, try to find that in Ring of Honor here in a matchup with the Briscoes? It's going to be interesting.
We like using the word extreme, Jeff, but I think the Briscoes take it to another level.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be close, but at the end of the day, you give the experience of being a tag team more to the Briscoes, Jay and Mark. So, again, we agree on that one. So, we got a couple of differences here, but now, coming off the amazing matchup at Sakura Genesis in Tokyo, Japan for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll came so close to bringing that title with him to New Orleans, and what an amazing, hard-hitting match. Him and Ospreay took it to the limit. They went, you know, above and beyond. And, Marty's got to put that in the back burner. He's got to forget about that, because he has an opportunity now to become the Ring of Honor World Champion. Could you imagine Marty Scurll as Cody goes, Little Marty winning that championship, and then just having that carry so much within Bullet Club, and then, you know, imagine how Cody would feel if he's got to, like, you know, like, answer to Marty, who's the Ring of Honor champion. That's got to be weird, but you know what? As I'm pulling for Marty, I think the villain is amazing. He's one of my favorites. But Dalton Castle now, he's had a successful title defense against Jay Lethal at 16th anniversary, and now he comes in with the experience. There's something different. I just don't think the title reign ends for Dalton Castle. I think this is just a bad couple of weeks for Marty Scurll now, because if anyone's been affected by the Bullet Club situation, I mean, his hair turned gray in a day because he's been so stressed, and now he's taking the stress into probably the biggest matchup of his career for the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship. I just don't see the villain coming out victorious against Dalton Castle.
Well, I look at it from the different perspective here. You talked about Dalton Castle having experience because he defended his title. Well, here's the one thing, Jeff. There's a huge difference, in my opinion, though, and maybe you can correct me on this, from defending your title once successfully against Jay Lethal, who's no pushover whatsoever.
No.
But a guy like Marty Scurll and what he's done in the big matches time after time after time that he's had, this is kind of basically in his breadbasket. He's used to these high-pressure situations. He came up short, obviously, at Genesis to reclaim the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. And now with this, my biggest fear and concern is that if Marty was 100% healthy, there'd be no doubt I'd pick Marty in this one. Yeah, I'd bet the money. I'm not a betting man, but I would bet all on Marty right now. But not just the mental grind that he's dealing with, obviously, with all the turmoil that's happening in the Bullet Club, but the physical punishment that he took in that match that they both dished out, Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll. I just don't think he's going to be 100% ready for this. And 100% Marty is a lot better than right now. He's got to be at close to below 50% right now. So that's why I think this all favors Dalton right now. It'll be a successful second time defense of his title. And you just like to hope that Marty has another opportunity at that championship, because I think he so well has not only deserves that championship opportunity, but he's earned it as well.
But I think you underestimate, too, just the whole mental grind of the whole Bullet Club situation. Because Marty, to me, I think that's even more important than what's going on with the whole, you know, championships with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. And with this, I think if Bullet Club was fine, I think you'd see a motivated Marty Scurll. But I think he's got so much weighing on his mind, just like the Young Bucks, just like Adam Page. I mean, Bullet Club is not fine. And I would love to, you know, root for Marty, but I got to go with Dalton Castle here. Yeah. And then, of course, the matchup that we've all been waiting for. It's probably been the best build matchup of the whole weekend. That will be WrestleMania weekend, Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor 12 is going to be Saturday night, April the 7th, from the Uno Lakefront Arena in New Orleans, and also in conjunction with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they expect it to be the largest crowd to watch an event live in the history of the company. You're going to get Cody against Kenny Omega. Dude, where do you want to start? The bill has been amazing. Watching Being the Elite, watching this whole build-up has been great. Watching the back and forth between Cody. I don't know if you saw the last promo they went back and forth when Cody felt like he was attacked by Kenny Omega when he said that he was a reject from his last, from the last place that he worked. And then Cody came back and said that Kenny was a reject from that company's developmental. It was a great shot at Kenny Omega. And then, of course, Kenny Omega comes in, talks about the whole Brandy kissing him and how it wasn't the first time and how she probably wanted it to be another go-around. And that just started another fight between Kenny and Cody. And it all comes boiling down to this matchup at Supercard of Honor.
Oh, I mean, there are no words to describe how excited I am for this contest. First time you and I are going to be able to see Kenny Omega perform live. We've been very fortunate to see Cody Rhodes perform live, which is very exciting. So these two have great minds for the business. There's no question about that. You mentioned the build-up towards it, using social media, using the events like they've been doing so far, doing the promos, really making it so raw and real right now that, you know, you feel it's going to be a fight. It's a huge build-up, which I feel will live up to the billing because these two are so talented. From Cody, the story of Cody leaving the WWE, wanting to make it on his own, prove that he's a star. He's proven that so far from what he's done in the indie scenes to now with Ring of Honor, and especially what he's done in New Japan. Kenny Omega supposedly leaving the developmental, and you kind of think, you know, hindsight's 2020, WWE slapping their head. How do we let this guy go? This guy is amazing, because he really is. He proved that at Wrestle Kingdom against Chris Jericho. He's been proving that time and time again that he is one of the best wrestlers out there. Now, people want to argue, oh, he's not the greatest technical wrestler, but you know what? He has the great combination of technicality and storytelling in the ring, and I think nobody does it better than Kenny. So when you have these two greats meeting each other at the same moment, it's kind of hard to pick sides right now. But for me, if I had to pick anything right now, I think there is no winner in this, ultimately, when it's all said and done. But how could you not give it to Cody Rhodes right now? Or, just simply Cody. Because the way it's been building up, you'd think Kenny is going to win. But I think his heart's really not in it right now, where the fact that he's worried about his Golden Lovers tag team partner.
And his friendship with the Young Bucks.
And his friendship with the Young Bucks. That his mindset is not set. Because this is ultimately for the leadership of the Bullet Club. But I think in the end, Kenny Omega, who's slowly separating himself from the Bullet Club, is going to fall short on this one. But what a great match it's going to be.
You know what? This is probably the hardest match to read because you want to kind of like also mix in what the storyline is going to be and how they work this now. Let's be honest. All the matches leading to this have meant nothing because it's just been empty wins either by the Young Bucks or by, you know, Kenny and Kota Ibushi at Strong Style Evolve. They've kind of been like empty wins because at the end of the day, it really solves nothing. What really, you know, is going to solve things is when Cody gets in the ring with Kenny Omega and then once and for all for the leadership of Bullet Club, or if not, this will go in a long way in determining who is the leader going forward, is just everything is on the line here. And when you ask me and I try to analyze who's going to win this, does the probably best heel in wrestling today right now in Cody, you know, come off with the victory? Or does Kenny Omega regain the Bullet Club and regains respect and they, you know, call out Cody for being a fraudulent friend to everyone and having ulterior motives? It is so interesting. It is like, you know, even when I had to do the 0 hour, I had to make a prediction. I just didn't know, you know. But I'm going to go with Cody. I'm going to go with Cody. And I think what we're going to get, because these are businessmen first and foremost, and they want to entertain the fans, I don't see it ending here. I see that maybe there's two branches of the Bullet Club, and I think that they're going to have to pick sides. I think sides will be, you know, chosen at Supercard of Honor, and I really think that this is going to be an amazing match first and foremost, and I think this is just going to be the beginning of the fracture with Bullet Club. We thought we were seeing little cracks, but this will be the beginning of the big fracture in Bullet Club where I think we're going to have two separate sides.
Well, yeah, I can clearly see both of them going their separate ways if nothing is resolved here. I mean, they're already picking sides. Either you're on Team Kenny or Team Cody. But right now, I feel there's dissension among the ranks here, Jeff, because, you know, it seems like everybody kind of wants their own individual spotlight. And that's not the signs to me of a cohesive unit of a group that wants to be together. Because when you have the Young Bucks moving from junior to heavyweight in the tag team division, you have Hangman Page wanting to go out and venture on his own. Marty obviously wanting to pursue other things. He has an opportunity at the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. Who knows, once he gets that taste, does he want another? Cody and Kenny going at it back and forth, and you know, the Bullet Club might be a little bit exhausted and tired of this. Each one of them wants individual glory, and I don't know if ultimately when it's all over, whether it be Kenny or Cody, that maybe this group will be back together ever again.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, man. It's going to be epic. It's going to be a memorable night. And we will find out if Bullet Club is exactly fine.
Who wins out of this is the fans.
Oh, of course, the fans. And the only thing I would say is that I wish it wasn't going up against NXT TakeOver, because I think that the wrestling fans deserve to be able to attend both.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, with their card that they're going to, you know, have, which we will break down this Friday from New Orleans, we'll have our post-prediction show on that Friday. I just wish that we could
go to both.
Because the match of the whole weekend is Kenny and Cody, would you say?
Yeah, no, definitely. And you mentioned this before. I think I kind of talked to you about this when we first found out that this was going to be the main event and it was going to be headlining Supercard. It was more, wow. It would have been nice if it was in the afternoon and we could go see NXT TakeOver at night, because now if you're a wrestling fan, you really have to choose.
Or Friday, because their pay-per-views are on Fridays. So it would have been great. Friday we go see this.
But this was done on purpose, and know the reason why they've been doing this on purpose, just like you've seen the progression of New Japan coming over to the West Coast and trying to slowly make their way across the Midwest into the United States. So you're seeing the reason here, not that there's direct competition, but they want to see where they stand with the likes of WWE. I don't know if they're going to come out and say that, but you kind of have that feeling, listen, let's put a card right up with NXT TakeOver, and let's see what the numbers are. Let's see how far off we are in terms of necessarily competing, but proving that we are a legitimate force out there in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, here's a cheap plug for Ring of Honor. Get that Honor Club, man, because that's how you'll be able to watch Supercard of Honor. And of course, you can probably watch it as well on Fight TV and on pay-per-view. And of course, NXT TakeOver will be on the network. Just so much wrestling, so much great wrestling will be there, as well as the independent shows as well for WrestleMania weekend. It all starts pretty soon. And we will be in New Orleans before you can say WrestleMania. And we'll have our preview show for NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania on Friday. We'll have interviews from WrestleCon, and anything that we can get, we will post on our YouTube channel. So please, you know, stay on that. We are on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network with such great shows like Cosmic Geppetto, Stick to the Gimmick. It's amazing. Of course, the brainchild of Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman, and you can catch Between the Ropes every Wednesday on the T-Pops Podcast Network, as well as the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio. We have amazing shows like Destruction 101, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling, A Drink with Gino, and as well as the Outsiders Podcast with Mark Adam Haggerty. And, man, it is just going to be an amazing time. Super Card of Honor, Ring of Honor presents in conjunction with New Japan. It's going to be the largest crowd to watch the event live in the company's history, and the Trendster and I will be there. Looking forward to Kenny and Cody, Team Cody, Team Kenny, who you got? All these answers are going to be all these questions are going to be answered. Are you Team Kenny? Are you Team Cody? Is Bullet Club fine? Can Ring of Honor fill this arena? It's going to be an amazing time, and it is WrestleMania weekend. You can find us on all our social media platforms, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Snapchat at High Spot Podcast. Follow us on the website, highspotpodcast.com, and also the Facebook page, facebook.com/highspotpodcast. We will be all over WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans, Trendsetter.
Yes, so excited for it, and so excited to share it with you guys, the crew, as you follow us on our journey, on our shenanigans, and escapades. From Melon to Mints, from New Orleans to Bourbon Street, guys. So excited about doing this, and so excited to bring it to you guys, the crew, because that's what we do it for. So, for the High Spot Podcast, we thank you so much for listening to this episode. And for my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am the Trendsetter. Thanking you guys so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast, because we do this all for you, the crew.
Kingdom Conspiracies. Thanks, Vinny.